cease to be
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, January 10th, 2023, and this is a Blog Talk Radio program, Ralph Pointer, What's Happening? And the call-in number is 347-857-3293. And our theme tonight, and we leave it up to you as to how you're going to interpret it, is no darkies need apply for jobs, for housing, for immigration. Now, that's what's happening. As you know, this is an anatomy of oppression, which in turn requires you to understand the definition of colonialism and imperialism. And everybody who speaks to you tonight will have some form of a definition of what it means to be in an American capitalist captive in a colony in your community. Ralph Pointer, what is happening?
Well, Sister Betty, as you have said, no darkies need apply for jobs, for housing, for immigration. And that's what has happened, has always happened, is that's what America is about. And now we say, what a we going to do about that?
Right on.
Well, I'm defining our job. And our job is fighting the fight to free all political prisoners by expanding and growing our ability to bring truth to all by being able to showcase collective progressive voices. For one of the basic truths denied constantly and consistently is the truth of Reconstruction brought forth by freed African captives supported by European allies. A possible new dawn was crushed, and those beams of light in the new dawn, the light of possibilities, energized us to continue by working closely with people on local levels, on local issues that have local and international repercussions. And again, I say, join us, allow us to join you. And once again, the issue tonight is no darkies need apply for jobs, for housing, for immigration. Now, that's what's happening. And as I have said once again, we are looking at an economic train running down the rails, and we are laying on the tracks. For the war that we know that is going on in Ukraine, as well as a physical war, it's an economic war. It's not seeing who's going to blink. No one is going to blink. It's who's going to win. And I think this is coming from right now, Ralph Pointer, Betty Davis, what's happening is America has bitten off more than it can chew, because in a war of attrition, we here in America are accustomed to a certain economic standard. The rest of the world is trying to catch up. And when they are denied that standard, when we are denied that standard, and I tell you, we will not be denied the standard we are accustomed to. I'm talking to 40% of food is being wasted in America. And you are blocked out this year because of global warming. This is the warmest winter Europe has ever seen on record. The Russians were depending on the Russian winter. We all know about Napoleon. We all know of the retreat of Napoleon's army from Russia. Well, winter is not over. It has not yet begun. I know, for in the North Country, where I try to have a little place of relaxation, the winter kills me every year in February and March, late January, February, and March. So the winter has not yet begun. And winter will be an economic difference, because you do need fuel in the winter time. You do need all of the things that you needed in the summertime doubly in terms of energy. You need energy for heat. You need energy for transportation. And I see that as a bet that the American government should not have taken, when they did not have to take that debt, because there was an agreement. Understand this. There was a long-time agreement that Ukraine would not join NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which meant armies. They would not put an army on Russia's border. Well, there are people who have come on this program when I said, for 4 years we've been talking about this problem. And people have said, hey, Ralph, you're late. We've been talking about it for 10 years, ever since the agreement was made and before. And so what happens when an economy goes down? I look upon it as a ladder of oppression, what we were talking about. And who is on the bottom rung of the ladder? You and me and all of ours, my brothers and sisters. And when the ladder sinks into the muck, we feel it first and foremost. And I need not talk about where we are with homelessness of people of color all over this country, of money in the trillions that is going out. As Martin Luther King said a long time ago, you can't have the war on poverty and the war in Vietnam. And so they cut out the war, and there was never a war on poverty. It was all a war on us, but I won't go into that. I'm going to let you tell me how you see this, and we must organize with each other. Know who's for real, because when the going gets tough, we have to get closer together. My brothers and sisters, Sister Betty, what's happening?
Before we go, as usual, to our poet in residence in honor of Sister Lynn Stewart, the people's lawyer, I want to read a statistic to you. It's called It Never Stops. Killings by U.S. police, better known as the Army of Occupation, reached a record high in the year past 2022. And it goes on to say that U.S. so-called law enforcement killed at least 1,176 people in 2022, making it the deadliest year on record for police violence since the experts have started tracking these killings. People across the country, police across the country, killed an average of more than 3 people a day, or nearly 100 people every month last year, according to a device called Mapping Police Violence, which is a non-profit research group. When you think about this, I want you to think about the social contract and why a philosopher, I believe his name is James Mills, he's a brother from the Caribbean, said, we don't have a social contract such as Rousseau talked about. What we have is a race contract. And since we don't have the social contract, we don't have to obey them. We don't have to believe them. We don't have to listen to them. And we are obligated, if we cling to insist on our human rights, to resist by all means necessary. And that is why we support political prisoners. And we have some special guests this evening who will give you some alternative cultural choices to get this metaphysical imperialism out of your mind. All right, without further ado, we're seeing that Professor Louie is in the house, and I, for one, could definitely use some inspiration.
Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty. And thank you in advance, Professor Louie. Give us some more inspiration. Your microphone is open.
Turns out you can't live here no more. Wherever you go, they shut the door. Looks like you don't got the money. All your life you worked hard like a dummy, rainy or sunny, at your job, doing something useful. If you were truthful, you didn't think work was beautiful, but you know you made a contribution. You did not expect retribution. And now the message is all about, don't pout, don't shout, just get the fuck out, because your neighborhood is changing, everything's rearranging, and it's true. It's the block where you were born, but you can't afford to be hanging on. The big money's coming, and you got to be gone. You could elect good government, mayor, senator, even president. You could even have good cops, but gentrification never stops. The mayor, the president, or the local cop, there's no way that they can stop a big developer or a big landlord moving toward some buildings everyone ignored. Buy three old buildings on your block, build five stories of condos, $2 million a pop, and we hear all the talk why people are homeless. They should have worked harder and got stoned less. All you hear, it's mental illness, not family worry, not money stress. From personal experience, I could tell you, if you want mental illness too, try living all out on the street, begging people for something to eat. I've done it, and I could tell you, before long, you'll be crazy too. So all the explanations don't make a dent. No one wants to live in a tent. You got to wonder what your TV meant, and you got to wonder where common sense went. People are homeless because they can't pay rent. Crazy people with money do all right. Behind closed doors, out of sight, batshit crazy. Day and night, people moving in could be crazy too. They want nothing to do with me and you, got themselves a corporate job. They look at you like you're a slob who wants to rob, and maybe you want to rob them. They've been told already, you're the problem. You don't talk like them, dress like them, act like them. They are the fox, and you are the hen. So the mayor can't stop it, but maybe we can. It takes a lot of water to break the dam. You need a lot of people when the stuff hits the fan. White, black, yellow, brown, and tan. Boy and girl, woman and man. Because it's not just one thing. It's the whole system. Peter Tosh said, it's a shitsum. And for working people, the system missed them. And now it's the naked rule of money. Here it is, Sonny. Money talks, everybody walks. If you don't want to be washing someone's knives and forks or walking someone else's dogs, are we the mice or are we the hawks? It's time for the fight back by any means necessary. Are you a player or just an accessory? Are you human or is that delusionary? You have got to tell me, my friend. If not right now, then tell me when.
Wonderful, Professor Louis. A lot of people, when the stuff hits the fan, all of us, by any means necessary, now or when. Thanks one more time, Professor Louis. Wonderful stuff. What a way to start a program. What a way to get your mind going, to get our minds going on solutions. And you heard some of them in the poetry. Sister Betty.
I just want to remind people of that saying, you know, if you toss a frog in lukewarm water and heat it up to boiling point, they will stay there till their eyes pop out because they don't realize it's getting hot. But if you threw that same frog in a pot that was already boiling, it would jump right out. Our job is to heat it up so people know they're in danger. And we've got some political prisoners who did the darn good job of doing that. So we're opening up the mic of some of our warriors for the political prisoners. Jericho is in the house, and we have, I believe, some of the About the People. We're going to open up all of our mics because we've also been honored with former political prisoners as well. So Jericho, your mic is open. I don't know who wants to go first. But your mics are open, comrades.
Well, I could go first with a very brief report. Very happy report.
Go right ahead.
We are happy to say that our dear friend and comrade, Annabelle Hernandez was released on January 6th.
All right.
Yes, and, you know, she was in prison because she was behind muckamuck in the Defense Intelligence Agency, and she saw that things that were being done around Cuba, she felt were morally wrong, and so she informed the Cuban people of what was going on and was then accused and convicted of espionage, even though she was not a spy, she was never paid any money, you know, none of the things that would normally apply to espionage charge. Anyway, she wrote a very brief statement, so I just want to read it to people. It says, I am more than happy to touch Puerto Rican soil again. After two rather grueling decades and in need of earning a living again, I would like to pursue a quiet and private existence. Therefore, I will not participate in any media activities. I encourage those who wish to focus on me to instead focus on important issues, such as the serious problems facing the Puerto Rican people or the U.S. economic embargo on Cuba. Who in the last 60 years has asked the Cuban people if they want the United States to impose a suffocating embargo that makes them suffer? The pressing need for global cooperation to halt and reverse our destruction of our environment also deserves attention. I, as a person, am irrelevant. I am unimportant. While there are serious problems in our global homeland that demand attention and a demonstration of brotherly love. Sincerely, Annabelle Montes.
Well, thank you so much for that, Anne. And I can truly say, yes, that's what we've been doing, and we will continue to do that, hopefully better than we have done. But she must understand that we will revere her and her actions, her courageous actions, but, and we will leave her alone, and we will continue our work as we must
exactly.
do. Thank you so much for that, Anne. All
thank
right.
Thank you, Annabelle Montes.
Ah, you got that right. One of the things I like that she said is, I don't listen to anyone. I do what I think is right. She says, I don't
exactly.
listen to the government. I don't listen to even God. I just listen to what I know is right, and that's what I act on. All right, we've got another splendid warrior and supporter of our political prisoners in the house, 0521. I think your mic is open. Please announce yourself, identify your organization. I think this is about the people, but I'm not sure. Welcome to What's Happened.
Yes. Hi. Good night. Thank you all for having me. I am Sophia Williams with the Campaign to Bring Mumia Home, the Free Mumia Love Not Fear Movement. And also with the Spirit of Mandela, larger organization.
All righty.
Well, we are honored to have you. We support both of those organizations. So please, give us our marching orders. That's what this is about. We don't just talk it, we walk it. So give us our marching orders.
Okay, great, great. Thank you again. That's great to hear, especially at the start of a new year. So I'm just here really quickly to announce a great and exciting premiere that will be taking place this weekend, this Saturday at 5 p.m. in Brooklyn. So the Spirit of Mandela has been working on a few things, and one of those projects are actually a larger broadcasting project, an audiovisual broadcast project called About the People. And so a few of us have been doing serious dedicated work for the past few months of last year after the tribunal to get this project out. And so our first episode, our first installment, will be premiering this Saturday in Brooklyn at the Mayday Space. And the installment episode is called Camp Muntakim, and that really features elder brother Jalil Muntakim, who we interviewed at his home, and we also were able to get other interviews in for the other segments of our program. And so we're showing that premiere this Saturday at 5 p.m. in Brooklyn at the Mayday Space, 176 St. Nicholas Avenue. And we ask if you're in town, if you're welcome, please bring your guests. But if you can't make it and you want to still see what we have going on that day, you're more than welcome to view online. And we are showing it on the YouTube channel, which is our YouTube channel, APP, About the People. So if people go to that YouTube link at APP, About the People, you'll definitely be able to see it live. And we really want to build this out some more and continue to do more with the next episode and the other episodes. So we're looking forward to people being interested, but more so seeing how they can fit in with About the People in their own way, because ultimately what we try and do with this audiovisual project is to continue to organize in the lens of the Spirit of Mandela Coalition. And as people know, that coalition had a tribunal that brought five charges of genocide against the U.S. that were all found guilty. So we want to continue that and highlight the grassroots work of struggling and revolutionary work to free ourselves and, you know, create a better world. So that's what this project is trying to do overall in various elements.
Thank you so much. What is that? Saturday, 5 p.m., 176 St. Nicholas Avenue, and I thought that was in Manhattan.
That's actually in Brooklyn, the Mayday Space.
Spell that again. What street?
So that's 176 St. Nicholas Avenue, Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, Brooklyn, New York. I made a mistake. About the People, 5 p.m., YouTube station. Look it up. Join in, learn, participate. Thank you, my dear sister. Hope to see you then. Sister Betty.
Well, I wonder if you could, people, just a little quick synopsis of who Jaleel Montakim is. Sophia?
Yeah, I'm here. So, really quickly, Jaleel Montakim, thank you for asking that great question. For people who may not be fully aware, Brother Jaleel Montakim has been a long-time revolutionary fighter, revolutionary human who has been, unfortunately, for nearly 50 years, has been imprisoned. And he was also a veteran member of the Black Liberation Army and the Black Panther Party. And for his efforts in fighting for change and radical change in our society, he was imprisoned for almost 50 years. And he was paroled in 2020. And he continued after, while in prison, and even now as in the quote unquote free society, he continues to fight for the same revolutionary ideas and continues to put out materials to essentially create more of the liberation we would like to see.
Well, thank you so much for that. For we all know that prison quite often, more often than not, breaks people's soul. We tend to become institutionalized while we are in prison. And those brothers and sisters who went in and came out and were getting examples of these people, that we must emulate, we must be like them, that went in strong and came out strong and appealed to us to be like them and to do our work. Thank you so much.
One of his books is called We Are Our Own Liberators. And one of the things I find fascinating is so many people use that phrase without giving credit to the person who wrote a book which helps you do just that. We Are Our Own Liberators. If you're not familiar with it, get it. And again, my dear comrade, I do hope you will return anytime you have an announcement. Mamiya is welcome here. Jaleel is welcome here. Mutulu is welcome here. Sundiata is welcome here. All of our brothers, both in maximum security and minimum security where the rest of us are welcome here because they struggled for liberation and to free us all, and that's why we must free them all. Thank you for joining us. Did you want to have any closing remarks?
Final statement. Until the next time.
Absolutely. Looking forward, and thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, we're going to proceed. You know our theme. I have one more person who's on the call. I'll give them an opportunity to see if we left anything out with regard to that announcement. Brother Kazi, I know you're juggling several balls tonight, but did you want to put in something that we might have left out?
No, peace, sister. I'm just listening tonight right on to the program and free them all.
Free them all.
All right.
That's the call. Free them all. Let's remember that. That is the call. Free them all, and it is our responsibility to do that. Sister Betty.
All right. Before we go to our next speaker, I see we have another poet in the house. Sister Nzinga, did you want to say a few words? Your mic is open. Did you want to say a few words? Okay. We will move on because we realize most of our comrades, they're doing several things at the same time. We have African People's Socialist Party in the house. We're going to go to our brother Sayero. Your mic is open.
Let me do a little correction there. I'm with NCEDM, which is the independent democratic movement.
In the background.
We got a lot of.
Yes, we hear you
okay.
Now.
Okay. All right, I'm glad that cleared up. It was probably my fault. I had my speaker system on as well. Well, let me first of all ask everybody to write this down. Handsoffuhuru.org. That's handsoffuhuru.org. That is we are filing in meetings for people to join and activities to join in because we're raising defense. As you well know, the attempt by the FBI is to take the African People's Socialist Party out and off the map to delete all of the activities that are going on with regards to the Wabba Hall, with regards to the ball court, the basketball court, and also this weekend.
We're losing you. We're losing you.
You're
losing your voice.
The chairman is, who was going to make the purchase of this place.
For some reason, we cannot make out the words you are saying. Hello?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
We hear you clear now.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe we're being disturbed or something, but I hope I got that message across.
Right now. Continue, please.
I want to mention Biden visited the border on yesterday at El Paso. It was a sham. Venezuelans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, all Africans only. When you mention no darkies need apply for immigration, the setup is he didn't even go to visit the people who were being affected by these policies, Title 42, a sham law to keep Africans out of the nation, the U.S., setting them up for rape, setting them up for any kind of extortion that might occur, also to the point of extinction, or we call it genocide, going back into Mexico. This is a sham and a setup, whereas the same President Biden is allowing for the Ukrainians to come over here in the United States and train to use missiles to attack Russia. Now, this is hypocrisy. This is called coercion. Weisselberg only gets five months. Nurses are striking in New York City in overwhelming proportions because they're overworked, and people are dying in the hospital. California sea levels have risen, and floods are occurring as we speak. Climate change due to the gouging of the planet by based on greed and capitalism from the colonial mode of production, the colonial imperialist forces, and the colonial governments across this world. And the main culprit, United States of America. I'm going to read something about coercion here. And we all can agree that we've all been coerced. Coercion or coercive control, controlling behavior and psychological abuse, advice for all. Psychological abuse is common, but too few people understand the definition of this well enough to spot it at an early age or stage, and therefore prevent this form of becoming worse, from becoming worse. Without visible signs of physical abuse, psychological abuse can stay hidden for years. Psychological abuse may start small at first. They do it in school. They did it in the churches. And build into something that can be frightening and threatening. Signs and symptoms include exclusion from meaningful events or activities. Ignoring, imitating, or mocking the person. Insulting or isolating the person. Name-calling. Swearing or yelling. Threatening the person or threatening to take away something that is important to that person. Coercive control is a pattern of behavior which seeks to undermine a person's self-esteem or sense of self and restrict or remove the liberty or freedom. It describes a variety of controlling acts, including manipulation, intimidation, sexual coercion, gaslighting, a form of psychological abuse in which a victim is manipulated into doubting their own memory and sanity. Now, does that not fit us perfectly? This has been a tactic that's been used since the country was taken at the point of a gun. Since colonialism began after feudalism, this is what we've been facing. They are well trained in what they do to us, and also have us mimicking those same deeds, and which is why we say, well, you know, we don't love ourselves. We don't. Trust each other. We don't have any faith in each other. We've been bought into a system that has us coerced or intimidated and bought into fighting for the colonial mode of production, which is a shame. This weekend, we have an event, and we're asking everybody to go to your federal building. Because they now want to take the chairman, Chairman O'Malley Yesitella, off the scene. By way of the fire we mentioned that happened this weekend, they want to have sales of properties that are owned for the community in St. Louis, Missouri, in St. Petersburg, Florida, such as the ball court, the basketball court, which was set up for the community where Africans can come and play freely instead of using what they would use as we were kids. You remember we used little hoops that were made from the bike rims. We did stuff like that. We played strikeout at the wall. But now you have some formidable features that are appealing to Africans in the community to come in, and then they not only do they get to play, they get to learn self-determination, doula projects, programs that teach women, our women how to be midwives, how to take care of one another, how to combat CTS, to bring a whole individuals who were made through coercion, half a human being. That's what they did to us. These are the terror-ridden tactics that are used by the United States government, and they use it so well that they've now incorporated all over the world. NATO. They use it through AFRICOM, over in Africa, when they want to interrogate or terrorize West Africa, the Congo. When they want to steal the resources, they use what? Coercion tactics. This is what they do. Now, we have in our plans, which I'm about to explain to you now, this is coming up with Hands Off Uhuru. This is for this weekend, the 13th through the 16th, and further on, because we definitely need people to go to the FBI and ask them to hands off the Uhuru, hands off of the chairman, hands off of Africans, stop intimidating, stop it terrorizing. Stop using police tactics, as Sister Betty stated, about three times higher in 2022 were the murders of African people but at the hands of police. There is no police reform. The only reformation that would occur is when we make that change through our self-determination. On July the 29th, the United States government attacked the African People's Socialist Party with a violent FBI attack on seven offices and homes of APSP, the Uhuru Movement. Leaders including the home of Chairman O'Malley Yesitella and Deputy Chair Ona Zene Yesitella in St. Louis, the Uhuru House in St. Petersburg, Florida, the Uhuru Solidarity Center in St. Louis. Chairman, Deputy Chair Ona Zene, and others were handcuffed with assault rifles pointed at them. That means that if the chairman moved, they had laser beams at his heart. If he stumbled, if he tripped, if he looked as if they would say he's resisting arrest, they would have shot and killed him, just as you know they murdered Malcolm, as you know they murdered W.B.E.B. Du Bois, as you know they murdered so many of us, Fannie Lou Hamer, all murdered by the same coercive tactics that were used. And they were used historically by the United States government. The FBI used flashbang grenades, drones, battering rams, breaking down doors, windows, stealing property, computers, phones, and files and archives, things that they will not give back. They refuse to give back. This is history, our history. As you well know, they're striking our history out as we speak tonight. Right now, they're decimating our grave site. Right now, they're saying that we never existed. They're taking anything about us out of their history books in the classroom as we speak. They are definitely doing a genocidal tactic. The real basis for the attack, the party was attacked because it has always fought for the liberation of Africa and African people everywhere and is a global anti-colonial organization. This happens at a time when the party and the Black Power Blueprint are at a new heights of success after 50 years of relentless leadership fighting for African liberation. The FBI made false, insulting allegations that the chairman and the party were under Russian malign influence. How in the hell is Russia telling us anything if the chairman has been busy for over 60 years doing the same fight, constructing scientific and practical applications without any thought coming from out any source other than African people ourselves? Russian malign influence in running African electoral candidates. Now, how in the hell is that? We're not running any elections. You're talking about the January 6th group. That's what you're talking about. So you're using that narrative, that brushstroke, to paint it on the chairman and the party, which is false. Again, it's coercive. In the U.S. and in struggling against U.S. genocide against African people and for reparations, it goes without saying that no African person in the U.S. needs a Russian to tell them the condition they face right here. This attack on African people is a continuation of COINTELPRO in the United States government's counterinsurgency to try to crush the African liberation movement. Our movement's powerful response, hands off Uhuru, hands off Africa. The hands off Uhuru org website, and I want you to write this down, has documented media coverage. You can go to the site and you can see these things. You can see this for yourselves. This is not me talking. These are facts. And collected scores of solidarity statements from organizations and individuals. In September, the Hands Off Uhuru, Hands Off Africa Committee launched a powerful tour of Chairman Omadi Esetela beginning at the REFAL Center in Newark, New Jersey. The chairman has been on a nonstop media campaign. The chairman interviewed on Democracy Now!, Fox News, covered the chairman's press conference, I believe on Betty and Ralph's show right here, What's Happening? Also, African People's Socialist Director of Media and Communication, Akili Anaye's press conference was done. We are winning. The FBI's efforts to intimidate the African People's Socialist Party and their supporters has backfired. You see this with everything that we discussed right now in this short period of time, which was what? Now they're having floods. Now you see that everything that Biden does when he went over to Africa, sent Blinken over there, they laughed him as if he was a joke. Because they know that he's there to steal resources. So I'm going to say to you, and I'm going to get off now, but please, HandsOffUhuru.org. Everyone, please join us this 13th through the 16th, going to your FBI agencies in the state, protesting the attack on the African People's Socialist Party and the attack on Africans in America by the United States government. Don't be afraid. We cannot be stopped. We are winning. Uhuru.
Well, thank you so much for that. For we must continue to resist. We must continue to struggle on every level. And one of the interesting things, as you had mentioned, there's have Ukrainians training on American bases. Fort Sill? Well, we heard that before. That was the base in Oklahoma. That was the fort that was instrumental in oppressing and destroying Indian indigenous peoples, nations. And so there's a history of their war against all people of color and the resistance that we must continue. Thank you, Uhuru. Freedom. Sister Betty.
I also want to make people aware, when you talk about the statistics on the killings by the Army of Occupation, you must add to this the missing, the percentage of black and brown children who go allegedly missing every year and are never heard from again is off the chart. When you measure the percentage that we are in this population, 10 to 11, a third of the missing are our children. And the same goes for the First Nation children and women in this country. So the children and the childbearing women of the oppressed in this country are being exterminated. This is the only conclusion you can come to. And so I take it personal when one of the organizations that the African People's Socialist Party created successfully was a clinic for childbearing women. Because as you know, in some cities in America, the infant mortality rate for African-American women is 70%. In New York City, one of those communities is Fort Greene Projects, 50 to 70% infant mortality rate. And this is not just the infants. In many cases, it's the mothers as well. We had infant mortality rates like this during captivity, chattel slavery. So what did the African People's Socialist Party do in St. Louis? They created a clinic in part of the community where there were enough infant mortality deaths to fill 15 kindergarten classes each year. I'll say that again. They created a clinic for infants and their mothers to protect and save their lives, that in a town and in an area where the infant mortality rate would have meant 15 more additional kindergarten classes a year. And this is where the FBI decided to raid, to pillage, to burn. This is not law enforcement. This is an army of occupation. And if we don't understand that, we cannot seriously call ourselves adults, let alone intelligent adults. I want to open up the mic of 8672. I see that Comrade Joel has joined us. Did you want to say a few words before we close down for the evening?
Well, I just got in a few minutes ago, so I haven't been following your show, but I see that the ruling class around the world is on the attack. It was a major coup in Peru. There was an insurrectional action on the part of the right wing in Brazil, with Bolsonaro in Chicago apparently consulting with Trump. And so it shows that we really have to get ready. We can't just be laying back and watching things on TV. We have to make ourselves more part of the show, and it's not just a show. It's life itself. exists in real life by having an effect on it, or we just sleep through it and watch TV and get more brainwashed, and maybe email each other about how bad things are getting, but we have to begin making good things happen by organizing. The hot breath of the threat is upon us, and hopefully that will mean that people will wake up a little bit more and start actually fighting back. And this show is a great inspiration because it centers around the people that are predecessors to the current struggles that are paying a heavy price. Many of them spending their whole lives in prison. Many others who are no longer with us because they were murdered by the system. And it's another inspiration that we have to dedicate ourselves to, not allow ourselves to get the price that people have already paid, and to make sure that we keep our eyes on the prize, make sure that we can help bring it in and establish again a system based on real humanity instead of a gold and silver and centered mentality that just paralyzes everything. Two weeks ago, I was talking about the revolutionary aspects of the early Christians, in relation to one of the passages, that in the Bible Jesus quoted as saying that the regular corrupt religions are putting out worship of the God of the dead, and we worship the God of the living. That means we worship the living labor that's responsible for progress instead of the dead products that become the wealth of the rich. And those dead products possibly spreading their death to the spirits and to the actual bodies of the entire world when we look at what they're doing to destroy the earth as a habitat for human life and maybe all life at this particular time. So we've got to get in there and fight.
Well, thank you, Joel. Thank you. You always... our spirits, you make us feel what's possible. I see some people whose numbers are kind of new. 8195, the last four digits. 8195. Did you want to say a few things before we sign off for the evening? 8195. 8195, thank you for joining us. 6704, last four digits. 6704. Did you want to say a few things before we sign off for the evening?
Just listening.
All right. Thank you and welcome. 7979. Did you want to say a few things before we sign off for the evening? And welcome. Last four digits, 7979. Okay, we thank you. We thank you for coming on board. Yes, hello? Did you want to say a few words before we go? All right, we're going to move right along. Brother Kazi, did you want to take us home? Did you have a few comments that you want to take us home?
Oh, right on, sister. I'm just so happy that people continue to work and continue to move on these pigs, you know. That number that you gave us earlier, 1,172 people this year?
Yes, sir.
That was last year? Huh?
2022, yes.
Yeah, 2022. We need to get on.
With signs that say Black Lives Matter is not the answer.
Go ahead, Brother Kazi. We didn't hear you.
No, right on. I didn't have anything to add. I just, you know, said we have to stay on top of it, sister. You know, like Ralph was saying, you know, Black liberation matters.
The Black Liberation Army matters, and we must show those brothers and sisters behind the wall that they matter to us. We speak it, but we don't do it. We're still pushing to get finances for Brother Mutulu Shakur. It should have been done, for we see how much money is out there. The wonderful young brother who is an athletic entertainer on the Buffalo Bills, raised $2 million for toys for black children in the inner city. As of a few days ago, we have to do better for our brothers and sisters who fought. There should be no worries for money in or out of the system.
8812, your mic is open, 8812. Would you like to say a few comments before we depart? 8812.
Yeah, free the land and free them all.
And with that in mind, I want to remind you about the people. The virtual premiere will be from 5 to 8, January 14th at the May Day Space, and it is in Brooklyn. On the flyer it says 176 St. Nicholas Avenue. In addition to that, as Brother Joel was telling you, those of you who have a theology or spiritual belief, you've got to stop worshiping the God of death. And one way to do that is to speak out against the war at home as well as the war abroad. So people speak out to stop racism, poverty, and World War III. Friday, January 13th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, Friday, January 13th, at Harlem's St. Mary's Episcopal Church, 521 West 126th Street. That's almost near Amsterdam Avenue and Broadway. St. Mary's Episcopal Church, Friday, January 13th. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The people are going to speak out to stop racism, poverty, and World War III. Brother Ralph?
My brother.
90 seconds.
Join. Know the people who are progressive for real. The people willing to do something. The people willing to fight fights on the local level. We're talking about homelessness in New York. We need more force behind our words to say that everyone should have a home. It's unimaginable to be homeless. I was homeless once.
60 seconds.
Into a building, and I fixed it up. Nowadays, They don't allow you to do that. They board them up, and they charge you for being in a building. Sister Betty.
Sister Ann, did you have one last announcement that you wanted to make?
Well, I can also say that the People's Organization for Progress in Newark is having a whole major event on Sunday in March and Rally, which is actually Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. And I'm going to just open it up so I can see when it starts. I believe it's in the afternoon. They're encouraging people to come and join them. Just taking a second here for the stupid thing to open up. Here it comes. Come on, thing. At 2 p.m., they're going to meet at 495 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Newark, New Jersey. And it is called We Won't Go Back, March and Rally, observance of the 94th birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And that's being organized by People's Organization for Progress. So if people want to go out to Newark, that would be also a wonderful thing to do. There's a lot of events happening over this weekend.
And I want to encourage people to Google capital M, capital T, capital O, capital P, capital P. This is a group that has been fighting against the privatization of our public spaces, specifically the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens. Again, MTOPP. They're having a hearing and an investigation. It's coming up this week. I urge you to Google those letters and support this organization. If the corporations have their way, none of us will be in Brooklyn next year. Again, we thank you for getting on this evening.
Thank you and good night. And this Wednesday, we will not be on WBAI 99.5 on the FM dial.
But the town hall meeting for MTOP will be happening.
And next week at 8 p.m., we will be on 99.5 FM on your radio. Please tune in. On Tuesday, we will be back here with business as you know, not as usual, with the business that we must have to work towards our freedom. Good evening and great love to my brothers and sisters, my sisters and brothers. Good night.